From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 17th day of April 2017. As you begin to spin up those wheels for the planting season, be sure to take some time for yourself. Try to get 8 hours of sleep. It's really important. If you're traveling the byways, watch out for the planters out there and the tractors. They move a whole lot slower than you. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Emerson Nafziger, agronomist at the U of I, will be here to take up the subject of nitrogen. And then as we close out our time together, we'll discuss the weather forecast too. That with Don Day at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming on this Tuesday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this 18th day of April. It's a Tuesday afternoon. Wayne Nelson is here now. He's with L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana, to explain to us just exactly what happened in the soybeans today. I don't know whether I'd call it around turnaround Tuesday, but things dropped quite precipitously.
It was more like fall out of bed Tuesday, Todd. We should have paid a little more attention than we probably did in the overnight, because there was a 3% plunge in the Dalian bean futures overnight. Number one, a little bit drier tone for the Eastern and Midwest for next week. The forecast that you just said there isn't keeping us out of the field. It's letting us get back in, and we're seeing a lot of planting progress happening, across the Midwest here, with the showers being a little more scattered. A little drier in Argentina, in fact, which is going to help their harvest continue. And, of course, yesterday the NOPA crush being a little bit lower than what everybody was anticipating. All those throw together, and we saw the fund selling of about 9,000 beans today. So you put all that together, and it's a down day.
Yeah, so I was just looking a little further out. So we're clear all the way through Thursday of next week, except for the rainfall maybe on Thursday during the day of this week. Otherwise, at least it looks like we'll have some pretty clear skies. So planting's going to happen, and soybeans decided to move lower. However, usually if we have clear skies, eventually traders begin to think if the planters are rolling, they might put more corn acres in. Any indication from producers that they actually do such a thing, or is this just something that rolls through the trade from time to time?
Well, it's an old adage. It's talked about, and farmers do like to have corn acres more than beans. I don't know that we'll see that this year. I think we're going to have a little more commitment, because they did actually sell some $10 beans, and hardly anybody sold any corn. So I think that if they did go ahead and sell those extra acres and the beans, they're going to go ahead and plant them. But, right now we're just seeing pretty ideal planting conditions over in our area. It's just ready to plant immediately around New Market. They've been planting since Saturday. We get out in a 30-mile-an-hour circle, but I've talked to guys down along 36 in that area that have got over 1,000 acres of corn planted already. So a lot of stuff going in the ground here this week. And with the favorable weather, we're going to see a lot more.
And then if you go to the west, I know I talked to my brothers earlier this morning, and they have about 500 acres in already for corn. So they're moving along fairly quickly, too. And further to the west, I think once you get into the Jacksonville area, they've been a bit drier further to the west and the south, and they may have very well been moving fairly quickly. So it doesn't take very long to put a corn crop in the ground anymore, and that moves quickly. I want to come back to something you mentioned up front, the Dalian and the soybeans. Did any of that have to do, did you see the report yesterday, and we've seen these numbers before, that farmers in China are expected to increase their soybean acreage and decrease their corn acreage this year, that on the government five-year plan?
I think that it did, Todd. I mean, especially for the Dalian, that where they're looking at things, I think that the more acreage over there, hey, face it, if they grow more beans, they should have to import fewer beans. Or if they want to increase their production, it doesn't take more of the U.S. beans. They could get it from their own. So, I mean, that of course, is falling along in with that. So, we've got some pretty big shorts here now. They're only short about 19,000 on the board, plus adding in today from what it's going to be for the funds now. So they are starting to build their short position. It's nothing like they are in the wheat. The wheat, they're 150,000 or close to a record short in the wheat.
Are you very worried about the price of soybeans?
I think that if we can get this crop planted in, that we, then we do have to be a little bit worried that we could see, a dramatic drop from here. Now, I'm not a $7 person or whatever, but, you know, close to $9 could come into play pretty fast.
No, that's a difference. There's a big difference there. I guess $9, I suspect most producers might think about that one a little bit as the downside. And corn on the downside, just 30 cents or so?
I think corn's going to find some support down in the next 10 to 20 cents down. So I'm still a little bit favorable that we could see, especially with the reduced acreage, that we could see a little bit of favorable support in the corn market.
Well, thank you so much. Anything else to add for the afternoon?
That's about it for today, Todd.
All right. Thanks so much, Wayne.
Thank you.
That's Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Well, yesterday afternoon, USDA NAS released the weekly crop progress report. It shows that as of Sunday, 6% of the corn crop around the nation had been planted. That compares to the rolling five-year average of 9%. And last year, at this same time, 12% of the corn had been put into the ground. The condition of the wheat crop around the nation is said to be 46% good and 8% excellent. Last week, it was 46-7, and last year, 48-9. Respectively, 19% of the winter wheat crop is now headed. That's ahead of the 13% on the rolling five-year average. Last year at this time, just 9% of the wheat crop had headed. Now here are a couple of the state statisticians with updates from Iowa and Illinois.
This is Doug Hartwig, Deputy Director for USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Upper Midwest Region. Rain continued to be an issue for Iowa farmers with just 3 days rated suitable for field work statewide during the week ending April 16, 2017. Corn planting has been limited as producers have been patiently waiting for warmer and drier soil conditions. Other field activities included CRP burning, anhydrous manure and fertilizer applications, and field cultivation where conditions allowed. Topsoil moisture levels were rated 1% short to very short, 74% adequate, and 25% surplus. Southeast Iowa continues to have the lowest subsoil moisture levels, with 30% rated short to very short. 2% of the state's expected corn acreage has been planted, 5 days behind the previous year, and 3 days behind the five-year average. 42% of the oat crop has been planted, 4 days behind average, with 10% emerged. Northwest, West Central, and Central Iowa farmers have planted over half their expected oat acreage. Pastures have begun to show good growth, and some cows and calves already turned out into the fields. Livestock conditions have been good, although many feedlots remain muddy. I'm Doug Hartwig, Deputy Director for USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Upper Midwest Region.
This is Mark Schleusener, State Statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Above normal temperatures continued across Illinois last week. The state averaged just over 61 degrees, which was 10 degrees above normal. In terms of precipitation, northern areas got above normal rainfall, while central and southern areas were below normal. The state averaged 85 one-hundredths of an inch of rain, one-quarter inch below normal. The number of days suitable for field work ranged from less than one full day to nearly 5 days last week. The state average was 2.8 days suitable for field work. Topsoil moisture supplies declined slightly and are now rated 4% short, 77% adequate, and 19% surplus. Subsoil moisture is 7% short, 81% adequate, and 12% surplus. Soil temperatures range from the upper 50s to the mid-60s around the state. Corn planting is now 6% complete, behind last year's 11% and the five-year average of 13%. Winter wheat is now 3% headed, compared to 9% normally. Oats planting is 57% finished, compared to 56% for the five-year average. The condition of the winter wheat crop was reported as 6% very poor to poor, 20% fair, and 74% good to excellent. Pasture conditions improved to 2% poor, 21% fair, and 77% good to excellent. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, in Springfield.
Well, thanks, of course. Go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the Midwest. You can hear that each and every Tuesday here on the Closing Market Report. This morning, I was on the South Farms. If you get a chance, visit our website, willag.org. I posted a little video montage of the soybean breeding program pre-planting season work that's happening right now. They're packaging up 12,000 different varietal tests in the public and commercial variety sectors for the breeding program, and it's quite an amazing task. You'll want to take a quick look at that. It's in a YouTube video that's right there at willag.org. Speaking of research, I also stopped this morning by Emerson Nafziger's office in Turner Hall and asked him about nitrogen and some of the research he's done in the past and really what's happening in fields right now. Farmers, of course, realize that nitrogen is the very most important food source for a growing corn plant, and they really do like to keep tabs on it. Emerson has these thoughts on nitrogen for this season.
Well, nitrogen's a big topic, of course, and it's one that we all pay for, so we know we want to get it right. Actually, the price of nitrogen has come down, as has the price of corn. So it's, even though we say, well, we have to be efficient and we have, it's a big expenditure and we have to cut it down, a lot of people look at it, say, as a percent of the what we take in gross income, nitrogen hasn't really gone up. And so that makes it a little bit more of a challenge to try to get it right without not just putting on more. And that temptation to put on more, and in some cases urging by people that sell hybrids or sell fertilizer to, well, make sure you're safe and just put on plenty, that's still out there, and it makes it pretty difficult. People know that there's sort of this safety in high rates of nitrogen, and we continue to hear stories about people putting on considerably more than our research shows that you actually need in a field. Part of that goes back to the way that we used to do nitrogen, and that is, say, take your yield that you expect times a factor and subtract some if you had soybeans there the previous year, and that's the nitrogen rate then you should use, what we called a yield goal-based system. That yield goal-based system flat out doesn't work anymore, and the reason it doesn't is our yields have gone up a lot, and our research is showing clearly we have, you know, 50 or more nitrogen response curves we generate every year across the whole state of Illinois. And we're clearly showing that yields have gone up more than the requirements for nitrogen have gone up. I think there's two reasons for that. One is that the yield goal-based system always recommended more nitrogen than we really needed. If you get good yields and the crop never shows deficiency, you just imagine you had the right amount. If you had 50 pounds more, there wasn't any way to really tell that. And the other is that our hybrids have just gotten a lot better at extracting what's there, water and the nutrients that come with water, and nitrogen is the main one of those. So we simply get higher yields and don't have to use the 1.2 pounds of nitrogen per bushel or whatever formulation people were using. We abandoned that about 10 years ago and went to this system, which is simply based on hundreds of nitrogen response curves that we've generated in Illinois over the years. But that idea is still out there and still pretty much alive in people's minds that if we don't use high nitrogen rates, we can never get high yields. This last year was a good example of one in which we were often able to produce 225 to 250 bushel yields with maybe 150 to 170 pounds of nitrogen. And under good conditions, that's what we expect in our Illinois soils. The rest comes from mineralization of organic nitrogen that's in the soil, contained in the organic matter in the soil. And that might have people say, well, does that mean if we have lower organic matter, we may need more nitrogen in relation to that? And the answer to that is, in general, yes. So as we go from north to south in Illinois, the amount of nitrogen we need to add for the amount of yield we expect actually goes up. That's the other reason the yield coal-based system wasn't really working very well, is that when we got into southern Illinois, people were saying, well, my yields are 140 or 150 bushel, but I know from experience I need more than the 1.2 adjusted amount of nitrogen for corn, and they were right, and our research shows that. If you go now to the nitrogen rate calculator, which is the way that we put all of this data together, and it lets you put prices of corn and nitrogen in, you'll find that southern Illinois and central Illinois have pretty similar suggestions, guidelines for putting nitrogen on corn, even though the yield differences would be there between the two regions.
Any worries this year about the nitrogen that's been applied already?
That's an issue. We were started putting nitrogen on last fall, of course, and then we had opportunities in February and in March and now in April, and are still putting it on. I just saw our data from the most recent samples that were taken, which was late March, early April, and it looks like it's still there. It's still creeping up towards being mostly nitrate, which is, you know, an issue only if we get high loss conditions. But at this point in time, based on what we've seen before, we're not particularly concerned that we've had a lot of loss of nitrogen. We've had some rainfall, of course, in the recent weeks, but it hasn't been a very wet year so far. And even though the nitrogen is mostly in the form of nitrate, which can move down with water, we don't think there's been a lot of that yet.
Emerson Nafziger is an extension agronomist at the University of Illinois. You can read his thoughts about nitrogen on the Bulletin website. That's at bulletin.ipm.illinois.edu. Now, up next, just one quick news item for the day. You know, it's been a long time coming. The Senate confirmation and swearing in of Sonny Perdue is probably happening next week. American Farm Bureau Federation Executive Director of Public Policy Dale Moore is relieved that USDA will finally have somebody at the reins.
We're anxious, you know, for April 2024 to roll around when Sonny Perdue gets confirmed by the U.S. Senate. Get sworn in as the next Secretary of Agriculture, then you'll have the key cog in place to start filling out that roster, whether it's the undersecretary level, the deputy undersecretary level, all the political appointees.
Moore says until now, USDA's career staff has had to fill roles that should be filled by political appointees, something he says they deserve a lot of credit for.
And then you have to step back also and give a big pat on the back to all the career employees who, frankly, since Election Day and certainly since Inauguration Day, have been carrying a lot of extra buckets as they take on some of those roles or have taken on some of those roles that are political appointment roles, but working very diligently to keep the missions, the responsibilities, the day-to-day work that the department does, you know, on behalf of all citizens of this country.
But it's Perdue who will have the heaviest lift as the government's key advocate for producers at a time when Congress has started work on the next farm bill and the Trump administration is proposing a 21% cut in USDA's discretionary spending budget. This is the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Don Day from Day Weather is on the line now to take a look at the forecast. Don, farmers would like to get in the field, but rains have continued to fall on and off. What do you see coming up next?
Well, there's a little bit of an opportunity, especially for the central and eastern Corn Belt. And we've got a couple of systems that may produce a few showers and thunderstorms, but we don't expect anything soaking coming in. Now, there will be bigger rains, heavier rains across portions of Iowa, southern Minnesota, portions of Nebraska. But all of that makes a track that'll be more to the north this week. So I think there's some opportunity for the next 3 days. There is a frontal boundary that will be pushing through on Friday, Thursday night into Friday, that will produce a bit more in the way of shower thunderstorm activity. But that's going to be a quick mover. I think the storyline is going to be a very typical late half of April weather pattern for most of the United States. Frequent systems coming through about every 2 or 3 days, but really particular pattern setting up shop in one area for too long.
Yeah, so a half to three quarters of an inch or something like that would be my guess. Moving quickly in coverage, 60 to 70%, so you may be hit or miss?
Yeah, well, I think at least here early on, here over the next 48 hours, it'll be more hit and miss, probably more miss than hit. With that frontal system late Thursday into Friday, that coverage gets a bit better.
All right, and then if you look further into next week, do we open up again?
We do. I mean, it's going to be a cyclical pattern of up and down, dry periods followed by these systems coming on through. There's plenty that we see coming during the last half of April moving across the United States to give frequent periods of precipitation, but also in between those periods, some weather to give you those opportunities to get out there. So it's one of these double-edged swords where we continue to get some beneficial spring precipitation, but don't want too much to where you can't get out and work. We're kind of walking a fine line there, but I do think it'll be overall still manageable to get some field days in there. You just got to time your work in between these systems.
I haven't asked you about the southeastern United States for quite some time. We're pretty up to speed on what's happened in the Great Plains and the Southwest and the rebound there from pretty dry conditions into decent conditions for the hard red winter wheat. From the southeast, they were having some drought problems at one point this past winter. Have they been alleviated or not?
You know, they had a period of time briefly this winter where they did see some beneficial rains and they did see some of the drought conditions ease. I do see some precipitation going into the southeast states over the next couple of weeks, but that area of the nation, I think, is an area that we need to watch heading into summer. They're starting off with poor soil moisture in many areas, and there are some signals in our long-range trends that could be a dry area and a warm area this summer. If you go into summer with lower than normal soil moisture, that really increases your odds of a hot, dry summer as that precipitation cycle breaks down a little bit by a dry ground. So that is an area of concern. If I were to talk about any of the lower 48 states, where's the biggest concern for a hot, dry summer? It would be in the southeast.
Thank you so much, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.